The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But now we're going to talk about today's cabinet agenda, because the Taoiseach will bring the long-awaited Occupied Territories Bill to cabinet to greenlight the process. The government is also going to talk about the trade agreement with Canada and much more besides. Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, is on the line. Sean, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, this Occupied Territories Bill has been long in the making and baking.
Absolutely. 2018, when Senator Frances Black first introduced it and introduced her bill into the Oireachtas, and at the time the government said it was going to be against EU state aid rules. And obviously there was legal advice last year which sort of changed the picture for them and the events that we've seen in Israel and in the Middle East. Now, Simon Harris is bringing forward a bill. It's going to regulate the sale of goods and ban the import of goods from occupied Palestinian territories. It isn't going to touch services, which was something that the original bill had tried to do and has been left out of this bill, to a little bit of controversy. The government sort of suggesting that there was further advice to put them away from services, although the former minister, Roger O'Gorman, said he saw nothing of that ilk when he was in government and it was all about goods and services. So the bill, or not even a bill, going forward today, what's happening today is that the cabinet is going to approve the drafting of the general scheme of the bill. So this is really step one, despite us being 7 years down the line with the original bill and months and months and months of talk about it in the Oireachtas, including a lot during
so
the general election.
It's unlikely to be passed before the summer. We're unlikely, in fact, to see a draft of the bill before the summer.
We might see a draft. So there might be a draft that goes to the Oireachtas committee before the summer. Certainly the timeline that the government is hoping for is that it will go to its committee stage next month, probably towards the end of June. But the dawn rises in the second week of July. So really we're talking about, you know, not a hope of this happening before the summer break, and realistically well into the autumn before anything might be passed.
Now, the other long-standing issue is CETA, the trade deal with Canada, which we have to ratify.
Yeah, again, this is sort of an interesting one, and go back to the Greens, where Patrick Costello took a case himself as a government TD in the last Dáil all the way to the Supreme Court, a great risk and cost to himself, it must be said, and had the Supreme Court rule that in its current form, the investor courts element of this deal was unconstitutional. And why it's controversial is that these investor courts, essentially, as the opposition would put it, are set up so that if a company loses out financially, between Canada or Ireland, by some sort of policy decision the government has taken, and the example of environmental decisions was being used a lot, they can go to this investor court and seek recourse from the state and essentially seek money back from the state. And there's a big fear among the opposition that that could stymie government policy and could be used by everything from big companies to vulture funds, essentially, to take a case against the state. Now, the government had put this very much on the back burner in the dying months of the last government because of the controversy it caused internally. Now that the Greens are out of the picture, and now that we're facing the international trade situation that we are, Micheál Martin and Simon Harris very strongly coming back and saying, right, we need to ratify this. Here's a bit of legislation that's going to deal with everything that the Supreme Court said, and we need to pass it by the summer pretty quickly in order to, because we need to open up new avenues to trade, in particular in Canada, with everything that's happening in the US. What opposition TDs and senators, including Lynn Boylan, have been saying is most of this deal is actually already working in practice. We are still trading with Canada. The bits that aren't in practice are the controversial bits, like the investor courts. So we don't really need it in order to open up new trade.
But the government's going to push ahead anyway.
Absolutely. Yep. This bill is going to cabinet. And this is one they'll get before the summer.
The third element of trade, if we talk about the occupied territories and Canada, it's the United States, and we are part of the European bloc. So what happens in Europe is our position.
Yeah, and Simon Harris has been kind of antsy about this over the last little while. He has said in Brussels, and will tell his cabinet colleagues again today, that more than half of the 90-day period that had been set aside for the tariff pause, notwithstanding everything Donald Trump said last week and wrote back on this week, has passed now. And still, we don't seem to be any closer to a substantial deal. Now, what he's saying is the EU has put forward its ideas for reciprocal, mutually beneficial trade, basically aimed at reducing the amount of tariffs and barriers that are there overall to the US, and hasn't yet got a firm answer back. But it does seem to all be a little bit on the slowly, and that's where the angst is starting to come at cabinet, that we've seen, you know, Donald Trump throw a strop and then row back on it already. But if we don't get a deal, there's very real chance that that strop turns into something that could really damage the Irish economy.
And are we at odds with our European colleagues on certain elements of this?
Well, there's always going to be splits between countries based on what they are, what their priority is, what's important to their economy. I think actually, in fairness, the government have been quite clever about it because they've been grouping together with the other European companies that have significant, or European countries rather, that have significant interest in pharma and in digital and in some of the other areas that we have. So there is a block almost that they have created at the negotiating table to put to Maros Sefcovic and say, this is really important for us. But even within that, we are the most exposed by far should the EU retaliate on with a digital tax or whatever. So we're a little bit isolated, but the approach from the government in this, and in fairness indeed with the occupied territories bill as well, is to get as many EU countries behind them so that when we go to the likes of Sefcovic and are trying to bat our corner, we're not alone.
Okay, now there are a number of other things happening. An extension of the Irish mission at UNIFIL. I presume that'll be fairly straightforward. I mean, we would not want to be seen to be getting out of Lebanon at a time of difficulty.
No, especially at the moment. And it has been a very, very difficult time for the UNIFIL mission, our joint mission over there with Poland. About 345 Defence Forces personnel we have over there. We've been there for a long time. And it's a flag that the Irish government has flown for years, that we are peacekeepers, we are intermediaries, we are neutral. And I think that's probably even more important than ever now when we're taking a big stance on the world stage when it comes to Israel in particular and are that bit more isolated politically. To have that, to stick to what we were good at traditionally, to stick to that that policy of being peacekeepers and being neutral. So that's going to be extended for another 12 months and there won't be too much rancor about it.
And now the housing minister, it was talk yesterday of some adjustment to the rental pressure zones, but he has other business anyway in terms of extending planning permissions for developers.
So the rent pressure zones were discussed last night by the party leaders and the housing minister, but there's still a bit of work to do on it. And what I've heard, the earliest it'll go to cabinet will be next week. Obviously, with it being so politically sensitive, they want to get it right first time around and don't want to be messing too much with it. So that could go to cabinet next week, if not the following week. But there is changes today. And James Brown's been under a lot of pressure and a lot of criticism, fairly understandably, for the last while, for not having any legislation at cabinet. And there's been two or three cabinet meetings in a row where, despite housing being the biggest issue socially and in the media, there hasn't been any legislation from the Department of Housing. That's changing today with some new planning permission changes. And what this is essentially aimed at is if a developer has, say, is planning an apartment block or, you know, 200 homes somewhere, and they get caught up in something like judicial review, if there's complaints against it, if they get caught up in some issue with financing and their planning is about to run out, that they will now have an option to extend that planning for up to 3 years. So essentially, like the new planning laws that were brought in, once a judicial review starts, there's a pause on the planning permission and you're able to pick it back up after. So there's, you know, there is the changes there basically where they're saying there's a whole bunch of planning permissions across the country, up to thousands of homes that could well run out because of things that are out of the developer's hands, and they want to bring in a mechanism for them to be able to
planning permission. If you're held up by judicial review, the clock stops. I mean, because your permission has not truly been granted until all of those things are out of the way. But other things that might hold you up would be utilities, for example. If you can't get a sewage connection, if you can't get a water connection, if you can't get power to your development, and yet you have permission, that's where this would, I think, become important.
Yeah, or ones that are, because that provision with judicial review is relatively new in the planning law. So ones that are in the system and under current planning review, this would cover them. And I understand there's a couple of cases there with a few hundred homes that would be affected by that. Like you say, exactly with the water connections, with the electricity connections. And in some cases, they say financing as well. It'll be interesting to see how that finances, yeah, how that branches out. I mean, and what the wording is, because you don't...
If your project's not viable, you go to a number of banks and they say no, well, then your project's not viable. Come on. You know, they're looking for the state to mind them. To hold their hands. Go ahead.
One of the other big things that they are trying to avoid in this is also just the fact of, if you offer, you know, blanket extensions, there's going to be some people who say, that's great, I'll sit to the end of my planning permission and get an extension, and then I'll actually build it in 4 years' time when everything's a little bit more expensive. So there's been a few checks on that, including that if they want to apply for this extension, they have to do it within 6 months of the legislation being passed and have to start building within 18 months. But the wording around that financing will be absolutely key.
Now, the final matter is there will be an apology to the family of Shane O'Farrell, the young Trinity student who was killed while out on his bicycle. And that apology is a long time coming because the state really let that family down, and particularly the man who lost his life, the student Shane O'Farrell. because the man who killed him should not have been on the road.
No, absolutely not. It's quite a scary case when you see the way the law did let them down over a number of years. And Jim O'Callaghan will deliver that apology in the Dáil this afternoon. I don't think he's going to go as far as to say that there should be a public inquiry. That's something that the family have been calling for an awful long time. There was a review in 2023 which recommended that one wasn't necessary. For people who maybe aren't familiar with the case, that the man who killed Shane O'Farrell, who hit him in a hit and run, had been convicted, I think, in three separate court cases prior to that. And on each one, it was a suspended sentence. The initial court case, he should, the stipulation from the judge was if there was any further infringement or any further crime that he committed, he was going to jail. And yet those courts did not talk to each other, one in RD, one in Newry, at any point to say that actually this bail has been breached, this man should be behind bars. And actually just an hour before Shane O'Farrell was killed, this man was stopped by the Garda drug squad and let go and let continue on his evening, and went on just an hour later to kill Shane O'Farrell. So Lucy O'Farrell has been she's a very powerful woman, has been a very impressive woman. I'm sure you've probably spoken to her.
I have spoken to her. Very impressive woman, very nice woman, and indefatigable in her attempt to get justice for Shane.
And forensic in the detail that herself and the family have accumulated of all the different ways in which her son's death could have been avoided, which is an awful thing to have to live with. So they will get the apology today. She will be in the Dáil in the visitors gallery to hear that. But I'm sure we'll be pressing for that public inquiry, which may or may not be coming.
Sean, thank you very much for joining us. That's our political correspondent, Sean Defoe. Now,
the Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.